And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Where did the weekend go, huh? Boy, it flew by. We had a busy weekend. We had the Marine State Park Regatta, and great weather for it. Huge crowds out there. Now the Butler Farm Show has opened up. Good stuff. Good stuff. Welcome, whether you're listening to us over the air, broadcast, or, as you just heard Scott say, worldwide. We're on the internet. We stream this program, and we get a lot of comments from people, especially folks from Butler who have moved away or they're away on vacation. They like to listen to us online. Hello. Nice to have you here today. Later on the program, we're going to chat again with George Walter. You may not recognize that name, but if I said Pilgrim George, then probably many of you would recognize the name. You haven't seen him for a while. You used to see him walking around all over the place. He's walked on three continents. His walking days are over. But he's now penned a memoir about his decades of walking with no money, just walking and relying on the good graces of people that he met. It's a pretty incredible story. He's now based here in Butler, in the Butler area at least, and he's going to be with us in the studio a little bit later on today. I talked with Pilgrim George several years ago when we were chatting on the phone setting up our interview today. Neither one of us could remember exactly what it was. Six, 7 years ago, something like that. But it'll be good to see him again and talk to him a little bit later. But first, we welcome new State Representative Marcy Mostello, representing the 11th District in Harrisburg in the State House. And she's here with us in the studio right now. State Representative Marcy Mostello, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Dave, and thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, indeed. This is the first time I've had a chance to see you and shake hands since your election. Congratulations.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you.
And you have been in Harrisburg. You were in Harrisburg for the budget passage, right?
I was.
The election, tail end of the session there?
Yeah, exactly. The election, as most people know, May 21st was the election. I was sworn in on June 4th, and immediately following that swearing in, I was asked to take my seat and started voting. And that began the budget month, you know, taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. And it was a whirlwind, I'm not going to lie. But I relied on a lot of people's help. The other state representatives representing Butler County, Lee James, Jeff Pyle, Daryl Metcalf, Ted Nesbitt, and Jeff Pyle. So, you know, just relying on them for their guidance. Any questions I had, they were always there to answer them for me. But it was an interesting month. So it was just an immediate going into business.
You're going to have an interesting few months to catch up. I would make it similar to a football player who gets traded and comes in to a team and has to bone up on the playbook as quickly as possible. That would be your situation, right?
Yes,
now.
I'm learning all new plays. I'm learning all new acronyms. Learning all new definitions of things. DHS is, in my former life, was Homeland Security. It's now Health and Human Services. So
got to learn those acronyms.
You do. Yes, you do. Yes.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you about your impressions your first time in the House of Representatives. But I wanted to mention, just in case there are, especially people might be listening in the car and, you know, pulling into the supermarket or the shopping center or whatever, you have an open house coming up at your new office location. So give us the details on that.
Sure. We decided to move offices just to make it a lot more convenient for people. We're opening up, we have opened up our office as of August 1st. We moved into the old Curven Subaru building, which is right across Newcastle Road from the entrance to the senior high school, mm-hmm. right by the Pennsylvania State Police Barracks. And we are having an open house on August 22nd from 3 to 6. And I do encourage everybody to stop by just to see our new office, where we are. Our sign should be up by then. It still has Baglier's name up there. And so we've taken the whole, I guess, kind of showroom, if you will, of the dealership. So we're in there. And like I said, we moved it just to make it a little bit easier for people. Great parking we have there and a lot more amenities that we didn't have in the old place.
Yeah, the former office was on Chesapeake Street in Lindora. Actually, it was in the, I was just talking last week with Tom Knights, the Butler Township manager, about driving past the new Butler Township Municipal Building and comparing it to that old municipal building on Chesapeake Street, which seems tiny by today's standards. And I agree with you. You have a more centralized location, easier to get to from different locations, mm-hmm. lots of parking and everything mm-hmm. there.
It's very centralized to my district. As you know, my district is all in Butler County. It goes from the westernmost part of Prospect Borough to Clearfield Township, up to Petrolia, and down to Butler Township, really. So it is a centralized area, and which is why we picked that location, just to make it easier for people. And there's a lot of traffic on that road, a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants on Newcastle. So mm-hmm. it just gives people an opportunity just to stop by, say hi, if they have an issue with, you know, a PennDOT issue, property tax, rent rebate, anything like that. So, and we are open from 9 to 4:30 every day.
Do you need an RSVP from people who are planning to stop by on the 22nd?
If they wouldn't mind, just so we have an idea, just so we have enough refreshments for everyone, it would be nice to know. Yeah, just so we, you know, have that.
Want to know how many donuts to set out.
Exactly.
Right?
How many cookies to have out and how much punch, how many punch bowls we should have out. But they can visit us on our website. They can RSVP through there, which is www.repmostello.com, or they could call our office, 724-283-5852.
Your new location just opened last week, 1st of August. And I noticed on your website that you had a picture of Rodney Zappaloni. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He was the first constituent to stop in once you opened the doors at your new location.
Yep, he was my first customer, so we had to mark. You know, some businesses put up a dollar, you know, the first dollar they made, but that's my first license plate we got in our new location, so we had to mark it.
That's good. Well, listen, let's talk a little bit. I think it's a great human interest story to talk about your first month, you know, your first trip into the state capitol and the state house of representatives. I have never been inside the state capitol building in Harrisburg, so I mean you see it on TV, the procedures, the sessions of the state house and senate are often telecast on the Pennsylvania cable network, but I've never been inside. What's it like in there? Obviously, the chamber for the state house must be pretty big because you got a lot of people in there.
We do, and I have to be honest, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. I mean, I've been in the U.S. Capitol, but there's a lot of history in the Pennsylvania Capitol where America started, really, mm-hmm. with Ben Franklin and, you know, everything going on in Philadelphia back in 76. But it's a beautiful facility. Very intimidating, I'm not going to lie. It is very intimidating. I went out a couple days before my first day just so I wouldn't get lost or look like an idiot, which I did anyway because I got lost on my first day.
I don't know where the hallways are, where the restrooms are.
Where my office is. So I had to learn all of that. But
well, they are big. I've been in the U.S. Capitol. It's a huge building, and the state Capitol building is too. I understand there are some gorgeous murals, like in the main rotunda, the central area, huge murals that depict things in Pennsylvania's history.
Yes, in the House chamber is really my favorite. And just seeing, you know, from the start of the Civil War till, I forget the year that it ended, but just the whole progression of Pennsylvania with Ben Franklin there, it's an absolutely beautiful mural there. And the chamber is very cold just to keep it safe so it doesn't start melting or, you know, any of the paint streaking. Mm-hmm. But there are some gorgeous paintings all over, not just in the House chamber, but the Senate chamber and throughout the Capitol itself.
Do people sit at their desks while things are in session, or do they mill around like I see sometimes in the U.S. Senate on TV? Seems like everybody's walking around in there.
You have a little bit of both. I'm kind of a nerd, so I like to pay attention to what's going on before me, but there is a lot of action going on behind me. Yes, there is.
You really have to pay attention. I've watched occasionally on the Pennsylvania Cable Network, and I guess it's the clerk, the guy that's kind of running things up there, and the guy with the gavel. I mean, it's like listening to an auctioneer sometimes, the way they're bringing up bills and taking a vote and the eyes and the nose, and it makes your head spin.
It does, yes. That's exactly what it feels like. You don't know the amount you're at that moment, but there's just so many things going on, so many things being said, then they take the vote, and you just got to be prepared for it. So there's a lot of prep work behind the scenes, reading about the bills that are coming up that day, learning about them. And with me, I check in back home with, if it's a certain issue, I'll check with an expert in that field to say, where are we on this? Where are you on this? Do you like this? Do you not like it? So there's a lot of background, a lot of footwork going on behind the scenes for me, I'm going to speak of. To learn what this legislation is all about. But yes, it is like going to an auction.
Do you have administrative assistants or some sort of a staff in Harrisburg that can help you with background information?
I have one staff member. She's more of an administrative assistant. And if I have questions about bills, I really rely on, again, the Butler County delegation of other representatives, because they've been there a lot longer than me, and just relying on their expertise on it and learning both sides of the issues. So I do rely a lot on the Butler County delegation, and there are research services available to representatives in Harrisburg to maybe explain more in detail what a certain bill is, certain issue. So there's a lot of resources out there available.
Same thing happens in the U.S. Congress, too. And then they have abstracts that give you a quick summary of bills and so on and so forth. Talking with Marcy Mostello, she's the newly elected state representative in the 11th District, central part of Butler County, to put it generally speaking, the territory that she represents. Her district is entirely within Butler County. I think Daryl Metcalf is the only other state representative whose district is entirely within Butler County. Am I right on that?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. In the western part of the county is just Representative Metcalf down there in Butler County.
There are five other state reps that represent pieces of Butler County, in some cases only a few precincts, but the 11th and the 12th districts are totally within the county. So Marcy was sworn into office in early June, right?
June 4th.
And then right away went to work in Harrisburg because it was time for final budget negotiations and a final vote. By the way, how do you vote? Do you raise your hand? Do you have an electronic button that you push? How do you vote on the bills down there? People would be interested. Inquiring minds want to know.
There is an electronic button, green and red. Green yes, red no. At everybody's desk, every representative has a computer, and it lists all the bills coming up for that immediate vote. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is an electronic button.
Now, if you wanted to speak, if you wanted to present your opinions on legislation or something like that, do you have to submit in advance, dear Speaker, I would like to comment on this particular thing, and then they give you a lineup or something? I mean, you can't just raise your hand and stand up and start talking.
No, you can't. It's all cleared through the Speaker's office prior to, but there's a lot of conversations going on in our caucus. When the Republicans get together to discuss the bills, that's really when a lot of the discussion takes place. The questions, the answers to certain bills that are coming up for vote. And then I believe it's at that time that, to ask permission, I'm going to speak on this, I'd like to speak on it. But also, I'm not a real freshman who got elected, in November, had a couple months to go through freshman training and learn this and learn that and take tours of the Capitol. It's kind of, I was elected May 21st, I got to Harrisburg June 4th, here's everything. So I'm going to start again in January and start a whole freshman training, just so I can learn it all, learn all the ins and outs.
The House is in recess for a while right now. After they pass the budget, they're in recess for a while?
Yes, we are. They're, and recess really means we're not going to be in Harrisburg, but I have been here. I've kind of called it the 2019 Marcy Mostello listening tour that I've been on for the past month and a half. So, but really just coming back to the district, meeting with people. Again, I've known a lot of these people throughout my years of, you know, my prior work, but really just making sure people know I'm there for them. And I've always said it from the beginning, I'm not coming from Harrisburg telling this district what to do. It's more of me going back to Harrisburg with the district in mind and telling Harrisburg what we need back here. So that's kind of my listening tour and just, you know, really learning about the agencies, different departments and, you know, different programs going on. So that's what we've been doing. But yeah, we go back in September.
Talking with State Representative Marcy Mostello. A quick break. Back with more conversation right after this. One of our sponsors on the program today is Goin Postal Butler. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do they do? Well, it's very simple. They package your items for shipping. And this is very, very convenient. I've utilized their services instead of having to rummage around to find the right size box or the bubble envelope or the special mailing tape or the mailing labels. Forget about all that. Just take your items to Goin Postal Butler. They'll package them up and ship them for you. Any way you want, by the way. U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, that's your choice. Goin Postal Butler is located just off Newcastle Road there in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. And that's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. You can phone them at 724-841-0044. They have other services, too. Copying, scanning, faxing. You can even rent a temporary mailbox there. Oh, and there's an official notary as well. Open Monday through Friday. Goin Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. We're chatting with State Representative Marcy Mostello, who just opened a new district office last week. August 1st, that was middle of last week. Thursday, I guess, right? Yeah, Thursday. It's on Barracks Road in the former Curvin Subaru dealership, the first floor of that dealership. It's right before you get to the State Police Barracks there, just off Newcastle Road. Have you received committee assignments yet, or is it too soon for that?
No, I have received committee assignments. I've been assigned to the Commerce Committee, Agriculture and Rural Affairs, Tourism Committee, and Human Services. So I have four committees that I'm on. And that's really, you know, when I said I'm on the listening tour, I'm, you know, trying to hit areas of each committee so I have an idea when I go back to Harrisburg, a better idea, a better understanding of what the agencies do back here and how our committees can help them, you know, with legislation, anything like that. So, but yeah, I have been assigned to four committees.
Well, tourism would be important here locally. That has now become the number one industry in Butler County, surpassing agriculture. And as I'm sure you know, we have a very active Tourism and Convention Bureau headed by Jack Cohen. So I'm sure they're happy that you're on that committee.
Oh, yeah. And we've got, you know, great resources here in Butler County, not just my district, but with Moraine State Park, Jennings, you know, any, the Jeep Festival. I mean, I could just go on and on and on with, you know, the different festivals that we have here to bring in tourism. And it really, it helps our community grow. It helps bring awareness to our community, and it helps them in so many ways.
Well, they certainly had great weather for the regatta this past weekend at Moraine State Park, and thousands of people out there. Talk a little bit, State Representative Marcy Mostello, about what people, the help that people can get by visiting your local office. You alluded to vehicle registration plates. You can get people started on that, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What about this new Real ID? Is that what they call it? The newfangled driver licenses? It's confusing a lot of people. You need all kind of paperwork if you want to get one? Do I need one? How much does it cost? You can get all that information at your office?
Yes, we have all that information. And in addition to that, we can also help with PACE, PACENET, Medicaid funding. And I said before, you know, property tax rent rebate applications, birth and death certificates, state tax forms, when those come available. But as far as the Real ID goes, we're learning it ourselves, what it takes, what I know, you know, birth certificates, marriage licenses.
I was going to say, that's one thing that I think you need is a birth certificate, and you can get an application for that at your office.
Yes, we do provide those. We work well with the Newcastle Office of Vital Records.
That's where they keep all that stuff, in Newcastle.
Right. I know. It's a very interesting place. It really is. But yeah, there's a lot that we can do. And if we can help you, you know, between me and my staff, we have enough knowledge to send the person directly where they need to go. If it's a veterans issue, there are a lot of things we can do on the state level, but a lot of it's through the Department of VA, through the federal government. We can very easily tell them which direction they need to go, depending on what their needs are and what they're requesting from our office. So really, we could be really a one-stop shop between, you know, the experience we have with the federal government and the state government. Call our office and we'll send you in the right direction.
Yeah, and listeners, when you understand Real ID, let me know, because it is confusing. As I understand it, if you have a passport and you're going to keep your passport up to date, you probably don't need a Real ID license, because the passport will get you into an airport or a federal building. But if you don't have a passport, you're going to need one of those within the next year.
Exactly. Yeah, I believe the Real ID takes effect for Pennsylvania in October of 2020, when it all takes effect. But it's, you know, boarding an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a domestic flight, you're going to need a passport or this Real ID to prove that you are a citizen.
From what I understand, it takes a little while to get it. You're not going to get it back in 3 or 4 days. So I think that's why they're, you know, PennDOT people are making the push now to get started on this if you're going to get one.
Right, to prepare for it and, you know, for that deadline of October 2020 to come about.
And that kind of a driver's license costs extra. But again, it's optional if you don't want it. If you're never going to fly or you're never going to go into a federal facility, then, you know, you won't have to worry about it. Marcy Mostello is here. So you're settling in after... Well, really, just 2 months on the job, right? Yeah, here we are, early August, almost exactly 2 months on the job.
It is, it has been. It's been a busy 2 months. Like I said, with that first month in Harrisburg, you know, really learning the ins and outs of Harrisburg in itself, and then going direct, you know, immediately into the budget, and those talks, those discussions, those meetings, and then, you know, it passed, and it. I can't compare it to any past budgets. I didn't really,
there.
Just never had the experience. Exactly. Yeah. But coming back here is really what I love doing. And, you know, the years that I've had with constituent service work is what I love. And I love helping people. And that's what I've done for 20 plus years. But it's an interesting, you know, area also out in Harrisburg, learning the bills. And again, bringing it back here and putting it into effect back in our district. So, but it's been a busy couple months, and just the meetings I've had, tours I've gone on, what I've learned about one of my favorites, I have to admit, was the Blind Association, their shredding operation, if you've ever been out there.
I have, yes.
Wonderful operation that they've got going
out,
on.
Out of sight shredding.
Sight shredding, exactly. And there's so many things going on in Butler County, and it's constantly in motion, everything going on here. So it's a wonderful experience.
I realize you were only in the House as a state representative for a couple of weeks. Do their sessions start, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, evening, or it can vary from day to day?
It varies from day to day. The first day of session, whether it's a Monday or Tuesday, usually starts at Monday. Really starts at 1 o'clock, so people have time to get to Harrisburg from mm-hmm. you know, different parts of the state. So we usually go 3 or 4 days in session, depends on the calendar, and really depends on what legislation is coming up, if we need more time there. So, yeah, we do start later on one day, and then from there on it would be 11 o'clock start time for the normal days.
Will the House go back into session shortly after Labor Day? Has that calendar been published yet?
Yes, it has been. September 17th is our first day back for legislative session, yes.
How far is it from the House chamber to the Senate chamber? Do you just duck out a side door and you're there, or is it on the other side of the building?
It is the other side of the building. I'm sure there are shortcuts. I just haven't found them yet.
Probably a tunnel somewhere, a secret passageway.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have to know the secret, you know, handshake and everything, and then maybe they'll let me in. But there are, you know, the halls of the House, the halls of the General Assembly. But it's not that far, no. It's not as far as you think.
Do you get a parking space when you're down there as a state representative, or do you have to motor around, driving around the block in Harrisburg trying to find a place to park?
No, they do supply us with a parking space.
Thank goodness.
They
huh?
do, yes.
You sound like you've enjoyed your brief time there, and you're looking forward to it. Huh?
I have, yes. I've really enjoyed it, and just looking forward to just to doing more for our district, what they need. And again, bringing out to Harrisburg some of the wants and needs of our district. So I am looking forward to that.
I noticed, I think this was just within the past, well, I'm sure it was within the past month, that the announcement was made of the disbursement of natural gas impact fees. And boy, there are a number of communities in your district that got a sizable amount of money. Conequenessing Township, Butler Township, Oakland, Summit, Jefferson, Clearfield appear to be the biggest. And in some cases, Butler Township, almost $400,000. Yeah.
It's great. I mean, we have these natural resources for a reason. And the impact fee was a huge benefit for our county. I will speak for us individually. But yeah, Butler County's benefited from these impact fees, from the drilling, and it's a wonderful thing. It really is.
And of course, the municipalities that have the most fracking wells within them, they get the most impact fee money. If it's a township that doesn't have any wells, then they don't. There's no impact for them, so they don't get any impact fees.
Exactly. I mean, we saw the trucks driving through Butler Township, you know, a few years ago. Trucks I'd never seen before. How they were made, they were crazy looking trucks, but it, you know, it's progress.
I was
progress
surprised
for our county.
At Butler Township, $400,000. That's a nice chunk of change, you know, getting close to $500,000.
Very helpful. It'll help a lot of people in a lot of areas that we need help in Butler Township.
One final question, and I don't remember the exact amount, and it's not important, but in the state budget, there were increases for basic education and for state system schools. Is that a big issue for you, state funding for education?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, within the budget, there's, you know, the K through 12 educational funding, but also there's the CTE, the Career and Technical Education, that got a $10 million increase as well. So, you know, when you think of education, it's not just the K through 12. It's in addition to that, it's after that. It's and in Butler County, we are very lucky with the Butler County Community College for what they do and how they train their students to really go out and enter the workforce immediately. So, but yeah, education is one of my top priorities.
Marcy Mostello, State Representative Marcy Mostello. It's first chance that we've had the opportunity to chat with her since she took office, and she said she was sworn in and thrown right to work in the last stages of budget negotiations in Harrisburg. So she gets a little bit of a breather, although a lot of folks think that when the House is in recess, you're not doing anything. I've talked to state representatives in the past. They say they're usually busier when they're in recess than they are when they're in Harrisburg, because there's meetings and appearances
farm
and so
shows.
On. And you got to, yeah. Well, you know, that's good. You have to stay visible. People want to know that they can get in touch with you exactly. if they need to. Yeah. Well, listen, yep. thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for having me. And I do hope this is the first of many visits.
Oh, please. We would welcome you on a regular basis, especially when there's been an issue in Harrisburg that, you know, a big issue that's come up. You know, it would be great to have you in to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I'd be more than happy to.
State Representative Marcy Mustello visiting with us here today. There's more to come on It's Your Turn on this Monday edition. Stick around. We're going to be talking to George Walter, better known to many, many, many people as Pilgrim George. He's going to be with us next, so please stick around. Back with more in just a couple of minutes.
My name is Monica. I'm an elementary school teacher.
My name is Mitch. I'm a graphic design specialist.
We have four children. Currently, we have life and auto insurance with Erie.
They've always been a good company and good customer service. If anything ever happens to me, my family will be protected.
Your local Erie agent is the Turner Insurance Agency, 724-735-2004, or go to turnerinsurance.com.
Life insurance and annuity products are not available in New York.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store and bottler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now, before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions. Pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us, and certainly nice to say hello and shake hands with George Walter, Pilgrim George. He and I were trying to remember the last time we chatted.
6 years ago.
I was going to say six or seven. I wasn't sure. Is that, you looked it up.
2013.
Yeah. Well, gosh, it's good to see you again.
Thanks. We're both still walking on this earth.
that's good. Pilgrim George, speaking of walking, has published a memoir of his walks on the three continents, and you totaled up roughly
40,000 miles.
40,000 miles on foot.
41 countries.
Wow.
And 43 years.
Folks, you may have seen Pilgrim George walking in this area some years ago. You're not walking anymore, are you?
I stopped in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think after 40,000 miles, that was probably good enough. Tell us a little bit, George, how this all started. First of all, when did you start walking?
My first pilgrimage walk was 1970-71 from Barcelona, Spain to Jerusalem. 4,000 miles, took a year.
Spain to Jerusalem.
Right.
And you walked.
Yes, I was desiring to come to know the Lord in a personal way, and I thought maybe by going to the Holy Land where Jesus lived, died, rose, where the Bible was written, there I could come to know him. So that's what I did.
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but I know there are pilgrimages that date back all the way back to the times of the scriptures, even the Jewish scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament. And in Spain in particular, there's a pilgrimage that's still done.
And Santiago de Compostela.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it, and I probably would have mispronounced it if I had thought of it. But that is still done.
Yes.
Is that why you were in Spain?
Well, I knew that that was the third most important place of pilgrimage. After Jerusalem and Rome, it was Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was in Barcelona, which was on the east coast, I could walk to the west coast to Santiago on my way to Paris, Rome, Athens, and Jerusalem.
Wow. And when you were walking, you had no money?
Yes, I just trusted God would take care of me. Jesus says, Don't worry about what you are to eat or drink or wear. Your Heavenly Father knows, and He'll take care of you. And He did for 43 years.
And we've seen that in the Gospels and the New Testament scriptures. In fact, a couple of months ago, I think, please, I don't remember the passage from St. Luke, but it was when Jesus sent out His disciples and
He said, don't take anything.
Don't take anything. Don't take any money, and so on and so forth. And so you were kind of following that example, weren't you?
It shows that you're trusting in your Heavenly Father to take care of you. So it's an example of the gospel being lived. Not just words, but here someone is actually doing it.
So you walked from Spain to Jerusalem. You say that took you a year?
Yes, that was my first journey to Jerusalem. The second journey was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Jerusalem. That one took 13 years. Across North America, Asia, and Europe.
Wow. Wow.
I left in 1988 with a little mule and walked to Mexico. Then I walked up to California and to Alaska and across Russia, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, India. Then all of Europe, the British Isles, Scandinavian countries, the Baltic, the Balkans.
Obviously, you were blessed with good health during this period, George.
Yes, I was never in a hospital. God took care of me.
How about your knees? Do you need knee replacement after all of this?
No, new knees or no hips. It's 78.
Well, you know, that's pretty amazing. It really is. I mean, there are people who
have 50s getting replacements.
Yeah, and done nowhere near. I wouldn't even imagine the amount of walking that you've done. So you were blessed, huh?
Yes. Oh, I think if God calls you to do something, He provides the means.
Hmm. So when you were walking, and I realize you had different circumstances and different decades and different places, but how did you eat, for example? I mean, did people invite you in to have a bite? Or?
They would stop and give me their lunch, invite me in for dinner, take me to a restaurant, buy a bag of groceries, and bring them to me. One day this lady brought me a hot, fresh chicken dinner. You know, just off the rotisserie or something.
Wow, wow. You've written about this in a memoir called The 40,000 Mile Man, subtitle Odyssey of a Pilgrim by George Florian Walter. That's a wonderful photograph of you on the cover there.
That's Route 30 coming into Mount Pleasant, over in Westmoreland County.
I know that well, just south of Greensburg.
Yeah, coming down the hill, the 3 mile hill there.
Yeah. You're based here in the Butler area, though, now, right?
Yes, the past 12 years. Well, the abbot of Holy Trinity Monastery invited me up 12 years ago to stay in a little house there on top of the hill for my pustinia, my hermitage. So even though the monastery closed 4 years ago, the new owners are allowing me to stay there.
Mm-hmm. And that's south of Butler? Right?
Yeah, on Trinity Lane, Mushrush and Bull Creek.
It's Penn Township, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you live in a pustinia, did you say?
Pustinia.
Pustinia.
It's like a hermitage, but it's available for people to come. The doors open for prayer or counseling. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a hermit way off on top of a mountain by themselves.
So hermits, once again, we go back to Scripture, right?
And well, the hermits really came from Egypt. St. Anthony was really the first hermit in the 3rd century, St. Paul. And then in Syria and Palestine. Once Christianity became official religion, the hermits, and they felt that they needed to live the gospel more radically because it became too easy. So they went out into the desert and just trusted God to provide for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen that story with others, not necessarily hermits. John the Baptist, right?
Yeah, and Elijah.
Yeah. New Testament and Old Testament.
Right. As a matter of fact, I spent time on Mount Carmel, where Elijah had his cave near Haifa in the northern part of Israel today.
We're talking with George Florian Walter, better known by thousands and certainly a lot of people around here because they would have seen him back when he was walking, better known as Pilgrim George. Your book, is this just published?
Yes, just last month in July.
I've got a copy in my hand. Thanks for signing it for me, by the way. I appreciate that. Is it available locally?
It's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's locally in Butler at the Book Nook. on North Main Street.
So how long did it take you to write the book? I assume that you had notes from your...
2 years and 3 months.
Did you keep a journal when you were walking, back in your walking days?
Yes, I did keep notes, and I have 45 volumes of three-ring binders detailing my life from birth till present.
I guess you would need that many binders for that kind of a walk. Silly question here, George. Did you have a map? Or did you have any...
Many maps.
I mean, you had to... If you're walking from Spain to Jerusalem, you would need some maps, wouldn't you?
Well, I would have a general idea. Then I would maybe have a highway map, or sometimes people would give me... Or I'd find one alongside the road, or I'd go to a travel agent and get a free map, tourist map. And then once Google Maps started, then I could go to a library and...
Yeah, pick it up easily.
Right.
Did you walk on back roads, country roads,
mostly state roads. They were better marked than back roads. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to get lost at a turn where you don't see a sign.
Did you ever feel danger?
No, because I know that I'm in God's hands and He will protect me. And if something happens to me, it's part of His plan. I've been hit over the head, punched in the mouth, thrown on the ground, stoned. But it's part of His plan, so it doesn't discourage me. It's part of being a disciple. Jesus said, they rejected me, they'll reject you. Hmm. So you just figure it's going to happen.
Well, and I'm no expert on the Scripture by any means, but I do recall reading that back in those days, people that went on pilgrimages, for example, to Jerusalem, there were lots of bad guys, lots of bandits along
Many
the roads.
People didn't make it.
Yeah, they didn't make it.
That's why, you know, when the police stop to check me out, I say, thank you for being here, because if it wasn't for the police, I wouldn't be able to walk. This place would be full of thieves and bandits.
Mm-hmm. Did you get stopped many times by police?
In the summer, 4 months, maybe 10, 12 times. People see me walking and they say, there's a strange-looking person in our neighborhood. You better check them out.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to come. And often they don't even ask my name. They just make sure I'm not wandering around with Alzheimer's or something.
They called you strange looking?
Oh, yeah. because of my robe out of jean patches.
Let's talk about your robe. You're wearing it right now. It's made out of old jeans?
Mm-hmm. People give me their old jeans, and I cut them up and make patches and sew them on. It's like the modern sackcloth. It's a sign of repentance, a sign that I don't belong to this world, but I'm serving the Lord.
If you're not walking anymore, you certainly have done your share. Are you still trying to get the message out to people, George?
Well, now people come to me. Uh-huh. The other day, someone knocked on my door. He says, I came all the way from Lebanon to see you.
Lebanon, the country?
Yes.
Not Mount Lebanon in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Wow.
So if God wants me to connect with someone, He brings them to my door.
Hmm.
Or I get invitations to give talks. I was in Long Island the end of June giving a talk at a retreat center. I'll be going September to Chicago, and we're up there with the Coptic Orthodox community. So I get invitations different places.
Coptic Orthodox?
Mm-hmm. From Egypt.
It's an Eastern Rite, correct?
Egypt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I spent, in 2016, 15 days in Egypt visiting the different monasteries as a guest of the Coptic Orthodox Church.
What about weather conditions for you to walk from Spain to Jerusalem, even if you...
Do it in the summer.
Yeah, because there's some mountains there. I mean, you would be crossing the edge of the Pyrenees, at least skirting the Alps.
Right.
You know?
So I crossed the Alps in October before the snow started.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Turkey, I stayed near the Mediterranean, so that had a more warming effect.
Were there times that you would have to take a boat somewhere to get across a body of water?
From Italy to Greece, I had to take a boat. From Anchorage to Siberia, I flew. Someone bought me a ticket. So God provides.
Well, that's not necessarily a long trip, right? From Alaska to...
500 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it depends on from where you depart. I was thinking of, you know, across the Bering Strait.
Bering Strait's only 18 miles, but there's no roads the last 1,000 miles to the Bering Strait.
Mm-hmm. And no airports right there either, right?
No, Nome is the closest one, and that's still a long distance.
Did you ever walk in the wintertime?
Yes. Well, in warmer climates, I can walk all year.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I don't walk in the winter.
What kind of shoes did you wear? These are silly questions, but people would,
well,
when they hear
I
how...
my sandals out of rubber tires in Alaska in 1993, and when I ended in 2013, they had 30,000 miles on them.
And you still had that same pair of sandals?
I had to put a new heel on every 3,000 miles, and I just found some retread rubber laying alongside the road and screwed it on so I could repair them with a penknife.
You need to talk to the Goodyear people. They might want to do an advertisement about their tires with you.
Well, it was a Bridgestone because it can't have steel belts in it, or I wouldn't be able to cut it.
Well, take a break. We're talking. He's a delightful man, folks, and I'm sure many of you saw him in years gone by when he would be walking along the highway. Pilgrim George, George Walter, is with us here in the studio. Take a break. Back to talk more with George right after these words.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. George Walter is with us here, Pilgrim George. You mentioned during the break, and we just mentioned it. I didn't get a chance to ask you anymore. You walked through Ireland, the country of my heritage. Did you enjoy that?
Of course. When I came over from England, I was counting how many people acknowledged my walking, like blow the horn or wave. In England, it was like 25 or 30 a day. In Ireland, it was 300 to 400.
Yeah, it's a friendly country.
It is. And people just stop in the middle of the road to talk, and it doesn't bother anyone. No one blows their horn.
Sometimes you have to keep your feet moving to get away. Yeah, to get away. So you were able to get meals. People would feed you.
I never had to ask for food in 43 years of walking. I would ask for water sometimes. Mm-hmm. Food was always given.
What about lodging, George?
I carried a tent, slept outside alongside the road, in some bushes or trees where there's no signs, no trespassing or fences. So mm-hmm. God always provided a little place for my tent.
Did you have any encounters with animals that might give you pause or,
just
you know?
Mosquitoes. But my tent had a screen and zipper, so I was protected.
But I mean, you know, there could
big
be things
animals.
Like wild animals.
No.
I mean, dogs? No?
No.
No?
Being near the road, one for one thing, kept animals pretty well back. I did see a bear cross the road in Siberia ahead of me, or moose in Alaska, but elephant in India.
Anybody ever stop to try to give you a ride?
Oh, yes. Very often people offer rides. And I never took them until the last few years when I couldn't walk the whole time every morning. So I did take rides the last few years.
You have walked on several continents. How many?
Well, three. North America, Asia, and Europe.
Mm-hmm. Never made it down to the Andes, huh?
Nope.
Well, lace up those sandals. You still got a few miles left on them, George.
Well, I'm lucky to be able to walk to the mailbox and back these days.
You say people come to you sometimes from faraway places?
Yeah, I've had visitors from Poland, Germany, and South America.
How did they hear about you?
Usually someone tells them about me. Someone passes on the book that I wrote back in 1988, A Pilgrim Finds the Way.
Mm-hmm.
Or online, they see me on YouTube and things. There's videos you can find.
Are you online?
Yes. I'm on Facebook and website. And
so people can find you easily, right?
Yeah, just Google Pilgrim George.
Well, no wonder you get visitors from all over the world then. Although it must have been a bit of a surprise to have a knock at the door and there's a gentleman from Lebanon.
Well, he wants to actually sponsor me to take a pilgrimage to Lebanon. That's his ministry, setting up pilgrimages. So I said, I've never walked in Lebanon. I've walked in Israel and Egypt, but not in Lebanon. So
The whole concept of pilgrimages has a rich history, if you go back, through ancient times. Well, Canterbury Tales,
right,
was the story of a pilgrimage to Canterbury.
To Canterbury. It goes back to Jerusalem. St. Helen made a pilgrimage from Rome to Jerusalem in the 4th century. Egeria, the pilgrim from Spain, wrote a diary about her pilgrimage to Jerusalem in the 4th
century. I've not heard. What was her name again?
Egeria, E-G-E-R-I-A.
Not heard that name. Mm-hmm. No, heard of St. Helen, yeah. So these are people who did this a long, long time ago, and you were kind of
following
walking in their footsteps, huh?
Yeah, there's a famous Russian pilgrim from the 18th century who wrote a book called The Way of the Pilgrim. It describes his journey through Russia to Irkutsk, where there was a famous saint buried. So I've followed his journey in Siberia and in Ukraine, where he was originally from. It's called The Way of the Pilgrim.
Irkutsk.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I know about that region is because it was one of the countries in the Risk game when I was a kid.
No.
And I used to play Risk.
Well, it's the southern part of Lake Baikal.
I know where it is. I've never been there. And I've certainly never walked through there like you have, George. You say that you are called upon to speak occasionally. Do people give you a topic, or do you choose what you're going to talk about?
The first time I speak somewhere, share my testimony, how I came to know the Lord in a personal way, and then add incidents from my life to show what it means to walk in faith, to believe the scriptures as true and follow them,
mm-hmm.
You know, like being able to trust God would take care of me.
And how did you start on this mission work? Did you have a sudden incident like St. Paul on the road to Damascus, or how did it all start?
It was a crisis of faith. I had finished 12 years of seminary in 1967, and I felt there was still something missing in my faith. I needed to be assured and have a personal faith, not just a mental, intellectual faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1967, I just dropped out and started to travel. Until 68, I was living alone in the Rocky Mountains near Boulder, Colorado. And I looked out one day and I said to myself, man didn't make these mountains, plant these trees, paint the sky. God made this. And the God who made this and the whole universe made me. This is where I come from. I'm not here because of some accident or evolution or my parents. I'm here because I have a loving Heavenly Father who, quote, took the time to create me. And that was the first time that God was real. Before that, God was someone I read about in a book, someone other people told me about, but not someone I had met. So that was the crisis that drove me out to experience God.
You took no money with you on your tens of thousands of miles walking. What did you take?
I took a tent. I took a sleeping bag. I had a water and food bag. I had a miscellaneous bag with like maps or extra patches and change of clothes in. So it came to about 35 to 40 pounds, depending on how much water and food that
take
I
any books?
Besides my Bible, I would have sometimes the Imitation of Christ, which is a meditation book, or the Philokalia, which is a book on the Jesus Prayer, because as you walk, you are praying constantly.
And what is that Latin? What's the name of that again?
The Philokalia? That's Greek.
Oh, Greek. I'm not familiar with that name.
Yeah, it means lover of the beautiful Philokalia.
Okay.
And it's the description of how to pray always. St. Paul says, pray constantly. And it's the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you say that there's 300 knots on this tchotchke, this rope, prayer rope. And you say that constantly so that you're praying always. It says who God is and who we are.
There are different types of prayer, of course. Something that I've been reading about in recent years is called centering prayer, where you just shut out everything else out of your mind and just listen.
Mm-hmm. That would traditionally be called contemplative prayer, mm-hmm. where as one St. John Vianney asked a parishioner one day what he was doing sitting in church. He says, I'm looking at Jesus and Jesus is looking at me. That's contemplative prayer.
Mm.
Not using words or meditation, but just awareness and love.
Were you able to meditate as you trod the many miles, George?
Sure. Walking is a very meditative, contemplative exercise.
I mean, obviously, you'd have to pay attention to where you were walking
exactly.
and that sort of thing, but you could still clear your mind of, well, of clutter, I guess.
Since I don't have a companion, I'm not engaged in that kind of conversation. So I can be thinking and meditating on the Lord.
Did anybody ever walk with you for a little ways?
Ways, yeah, maybe an hour or two. And there were some times I joined a group pilgrimage for days or weeks maybe. In Poland, I walked from Krakow to Częstochowa. Took a week with 250 pilgrims. In Latvia, I walked for 2 weeks with about 40 pilgrims from Riga to Aglona.
Three continents. Did you ever count up all of the countries that you walked in, George?
Yeah, 41 countries.
41.
And some of them a number of times.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Did you ever have to get a passport?
Oh, I have a passport, but I often had to get a visa also for mm-hmm. Eastern Europe especially.
There are many countries where you need a visa to get in, and in most countries, if you're going in or coming out, they want to see your passport, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they have passport control.
And like to get to India, it took me 6 months to get a visa.
So yeah, you have to apply to the government of
right.
the country that you want to visit.
You have to go to the embassy before you get there. So when you get to the border, you have it.
Did you have a plan whenever you would set out on a walk? Did you have a timetable?
For one summer, I would have a plan. I wouldn't plan beyond that because I didn't know if I was going to make it through that summer.
Yeah.
So I would usually have a large circle if I'm walking in the States, and I would end up in September for Labor Day in Uniontown, where there's a pilgrimage feast every year. Like this year will be the 85th Uniontown pilgrimage at Mount St. Macrina.
You're talking about Uniontown, PA?
Yes.
Fayette County?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that would be the end of my summer walk there. Then I would come back to Butler, and the winter would be a time of prayer and planning the next summer's walk.
I'm somewhat familiar with the monastery life, at least in the early days, and you go back to, I think, generally considered the founder of Western monasticism, St. Benedict. His motto was ora et labora, work and pray. Mm-hmm. The monasteries were self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
They grew their own crops, mm-hmm. made their own bread. Do you grow things at your hermitage?
Well, very simple things. But the work and the prayer is just basically the Christian life. It's our relationship with God and with others. So Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. So prayer is our love of God, relationship with him. And work is our service of our fellow man.
Folks, I have scratched the surface only, believe me. George Walter, Pilgrim George, has written extensively about his 40,000-mile journey. I'm just looking to the end here. I've only had a chance to start perusing your book. It's like 450 pages.
With pictures and maps.
Yeah, pictures and maps. It's a very interesting tale, something that I will relish going through. George Walter, George Florian Walter, you won't be able to miss the book. There's a wonderful photograph of George on the cover as he's walking down the highway. You said this was near Mount Pleasant, PA. The title is The 40,000 Mile Man, Odyssey of a Pilgrim, George Florian Walter. George, I can't tell you how good it is to see you again.
And you too. Thanks.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you could stop in. And maybe the good Lord willing, we'll do it again someday.
Whatever.
How's that?
It's whatever God wants. Praise God.
I would enjoy that.
Thank you.
I would enjoy that. Good to see you.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks to George, and thanks, of course, to Marcy Mostello as well, our earlier guest. I'm Dave Malarkey. That wraps up the show for Monday. I hope you can be with us tomorrow, 12:30, for the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Something inside that she's got turns you on just the same.